for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, September the 5th, 1993. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. James and Merlene Golden of Belize, Central America, are the ministers of the morning.
Brother Golden, come on and up here, and I intended to put you on here no later than a quarter after 11. It's now almost 11:30, so that puts you up till 12:30 for lunch. And if we don't have lunch, that'll still be all right. There's been a couple of times we haven't eaten lunch, and there's been a couple of times we haven't had supper here. The meeting had just gone right on from one to the other. And then when we get through eating and all of you help get the kitchen cleaned up, help wash the dishes as well. Well, we'll have the afternoon teaching session upstairs and down, and then back in here when they get through. And Dee Dee will be ministering tonight in the evening service, and Irma and I will be this afternoon. Brother Golden, blessings of the Lord.
You know, I want to tell you something. I love you. I love you. Jesus loves you. I've stood before lots of congregations of brown-skinned native people, brown people, black people, and told them the same thing. After I got married, I've told my wife that I love her, you know, and there's been lots of times she'd say, oh, I love you. Well, don't you think I know it? Don't you think I can tell that you love me? You know, it's telling me that all the time. I see it all over you. But then I found out that it doesn't work that way. And I found out that women especially love to hear someone say, I love you. And really mean it. I really mean it. I love you. You know, I think the Lord is that way. I think the Lord is that way. He wants praise and He wants adoration. You know, you've been sitting there for a long time. You realize how long we've been sitting? I believe you've about got to sit there till you got stiff. Let's tell the Lord we love Him. All right, let's stand up. Let's stretch and get our blood circulating good. Yes, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Yes, precious Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Santal yaradadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadad great and first commandment is to love you. To love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, Lord. Lord, we make love to you. We express to you, Lord, the love we have for your goodness, for your greatness, Lord. Oh, for being God, for being our lover, for showing your love to us, Lord. God, we can never do enough to return the great love you showed to us. Yes, thank you, Lord. Now, reach over, shake hands with somebody and tell them you love them. Yes, hug them and love them. Yes, praise God. Oh, yes. Ah, yes, thank you, Lord. God loves this. Praise the Lord. I think he loves this more than preaching. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Colonel Wilson,
I love you.
You probably had a lot of soldiers under you that didn't think very much of you. Praise God. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Oh, all right. Now then, you know, I'll tell you what, I think it'd be good to do something else. You know, unless you get too quiet and too stiff and too relaxed. Let's do something. You know, the scripture says, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God in the voice of triumph. Yes, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, triumphant. Shout unto God in the voice of triumphant. Hallelujah, we're victorious. Sandala la te kiti sandala la 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 la. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated if you would like. In the 21st chapter of Acts, we read 18th verse. We read of when Paul got before certain elders. It tells us, and the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. Look at the first few words of the 20th verse. See if I say it right. And when they had heard it, they glorified Paul. Did I say that right? Let me see if I can do it again. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. Did I say it right that time? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. I love to give God the glory. When we speak of great miracles, great outpourings of God's Spirit, we go from place to place and we minister. We're invited to come to different camp meetings, different places. As soon as we leave this camp meeting, our wheels will be rolling north and we'll go all the way up just above Manitoba, Canada. It's already frosting, already freezing up there. But then there's a little group of wheat farmers that they heard about us and begin to write to us. And then there was one brother that from among them, one elder brother that visited with us, and I interpreted for him some in Guatemala and Belize, and we saw a great moving, great intervention, great supernatural manifestation of the power of God. But we go to these places. We'll probably be going to California before we go back to Belize around the end of October, the 1st of November. But as we go from place to place, well, we are urged, people urge it upon us, tell us what God is doing in foreign countries on the mission field. And then whenever we do tell the things that we see God doing, I like to tell the great things. And the Song of Solomon says about my beloved is like a roe skipping up on the mountains. And oh, I like to skip on the mountain heights and tell of the great and wonderful things I've seen the Lord do. I remember my wife, she really enjoyed a book about hinds feet, and it was along that line, you know. And I didn't read the book, but she told me about it, you know, and told me how that it reminds her of me, the way that in spite of all of the valleys they are, we manage to kind of, you know, get on some of the mountaintop. But then I'm sure there are times that instead of saying, my beloved is as a roe skipping up on the mountain, she has seen a time when my beloved is as a wounded roe wallowing in the mully grubs down in the valley. But praise God, he delivers. He's a great God, wonderful God, mighty God. People have asked me to, you know, relate some of the miracles. People like to hear about miracles. And we read God had so many of them recorded in the scriptures. And I've been asked, you know, to tell of some of the miracles I've seen God do. I don't know how many people that I would meet that'd be total strangers, and they'd, here's Brother Golden, I want to introduce you to him. He's a missionary down in Central America. And they'd say, could you tell me some of the miracles you see God do? Well, I love to tell about the miracles. And, you know, tell things that give people goosebumps. Around Arkansas, I hear them call them doodads. Yeah. That's folks around here. They, you know, you get thrilled. But I tell you what, there's also times
when rather than saying things that tickle people's ears and people having itching ears and wanting to put a man on a pedestal and things like that, there's time when God desires to get right down next to where we are living. And instead of tickling our ears, He wants to penetrate our hearts and get right down into our hearts. Oh, praise God. You know, among the miracles we've seen God do, I remember one time after God called us to the mission field, we had the call of God on our life when we first met up with one another. And on February the 24th in 1961, did I get it right, Merlin? I stood at an altar and she marched down the aisle and we were joined in holy matrimony. And shortly after that, we left to spend our honeymoon on the mission field. We've been on a honeymoon ever since. We've been on the mission field ever since. About 9.5 months, somewhere thereabout, after we were married, we had a little baby girl. Her name was Duana. There's a few people here that have met her. Maybe I can talk a little bit about her later on. When she was a small baby, not big enough to crawl, she was very energetic, and she loved to all of a sudden give a great big lunge like that. And one day she was in another room. My wife was with the baby in her arms in this room, and I was over in the living room. And I heard a kind of a bang, and I heard my wife scream and say, "Oh, she's dead." She brought our little girl. She was breathless. I've killed hogs and butchered hogs and butchered goats and sheep, and I've seen them react to death. You take an animal and knock it in the head with a hammer, and it. But there was my own precious little daughter, dead. Only by the grace and the mercy of God, and He is good at that. I tell you, God is very good at grace and mercy. He is very good at it. And He's very good at specializing in things which are impossible for us to do. Things that are impossible to us. He specializes in when we get to our end, well then, He can show His beginning. He can begin. Her little head was mashed in. You know, you got a seam. And a little babies have got a little soft place in her head. And the side that hit the floor was pushed way in. This side was pushed way up, out of shape. I didn't get a hold of it to push it in shape. I gently laid my hand. I did not feel any fear or any panic whatever. There's been many other times that I did. I'm not saying that I never have, that I don't. There's been several other times that I have come down with a bad case of the jitters. That head come right back in shape. Bloop. Like that. The blueness went out of her. She opened up her eyes and breathed and didn't whimper. Didn't whimper. Didn't whine. Praise God that He came on the scene. Worked His wonderful miracle. You know, I tell you what. There have been people from colleges and universities and from mission boards that want to study, that go into different nations of the world and meet the missionaries, and they conduct research. And you know, that's really good. They want to find out, you know, what's going on and what needs to be done and see what the field is like and the missionaries that are there on the field and really find out and see what the situation is rather than marching into something they don't know what they're getting into. And so they've come our way and, you know, asked us lots of very important questions. And we were able to give them some very, you know, good information. One question that I have had asked me was about men of God that I know. Men that I know that are really serving God, that are really being used of God. That's a very interesting subject, you know. It should be. And Scripture says to know them that labor among you. So in the process of speaking of men of God, well, I started talking about different ones that I know personally and missionaries that I know personally that I know that are really called of God and really yielded to God. And you know, in the process of talking about men of God, well, you know, the subject changed a little bit. Could you imagine what it changed to? The subject changed to women of God. So, you know, well, you know, God's got women too. He said that in the last days, He would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, and He made it very plain. On the servants and on the handmaidens will I pour out of My Spirit. So much of the Scripture, whenever it speaks about, you know, all the different things that God will do, it speaks in the masculine gender. Nearly all of the time, it just so much of the Scripture, in the Greek language and in the Spanish language and in the English language, well, it's so much of it is in the masculine. God come along so very definitely, He wanted to make it very, very clear, and He repeated it twice, that He's going on the servants and on the handmaidens, will He pour out His of His Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So I had to come up and, you know, remember and recall and think of women of God. And whenever I got to thinking, boy, I mean, I really got to seeing women that are sold out to God. And I was able to, you know, help their research. And in the process of trying to figure out women of God, and, you know, who's really stood out to me as women of God, well, right there at that time, I kind of froze in my tracks, and it kind of touched a real tender spot in my heart. And I got to thinking, great women of God, I don't know any greater woman of God than the one God joined to me whenever she marched down that aisle right over here on Spring Street, off of Spring Street in Hot Springs, Arkansas in 1961. And whenever she was said, asked, would she be faithful to God and for her husband, and would she seek for my fulfillment and for my well-being and for my physical well-being and for my spiritual well-being? And will you dedicate yourself to your husband and to the service of God for as long as you live? And she said, I do. And she meant it, and she has kept that all through the hard trials and tribulations. Been a very faithful mother and been a very faithful handmaiden of God. Couldn't ask for a better, more faithful handmaiden. Asking me about miracles, I think, you know, I just related the great miracle when God rose our daughter from the dead. But one of the greatest miracles that I have ever witnessed in my ministry is when God miraculously gave me a wife that would put up with me and all that's involved in missionary work, and stay faithful to God. To me, now that's a miracle. It baffles me. God's goodness baffles me. You know, some of the things that we might relate, experiences, things that God has wrought on the mission field. Well, some of you here might have heard it, you know, two or three times already. Most of you here are new to these camp meetings. I've been to several, and I see that there's some here that I have seen different times. But most of you here are new. So maybe if I tell some of the same things that we've told before, it won't bore some of you. You know what? I tell you what, I think it would be good. I think it would be good if the sweetest woman I know were to come up here. Now, all of you women don't come at once here. If Merlene would come, you got a microphone for her? If she'd come and say something to you this morning. We're not in a hurry, are we?
Yes. Testing.
This is part of a scripture in Titus chapter 2, verse 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good work. You know, that really stands out to me, to show ourselves as a pattern of good work. When we are among different people, we have to change our pattern just a little bit. We have to change what we do just a little bit. In Belize, among the Spanish-speaking people, we cannot do some of the things that we do here in the States, because they just won't accept you. If I'd done some of the things that I do here in the States, I would be a hindrance to Brother Golden's ministry. So we learned what to do and what not to do. Some of the people come down and they say, oh, I wouldn't do that. I'd do just exactly what I wanted to do. I says, no, I cannot hinder his ministry among these Spanish people. I will do what he wants me to do. I will change my pattern to do what God wants me to do. I'm so thankful that down through the years I have learned many things. Many places we have gone, we have learned many things. One of the things that the Lord has had us in bliss for, many new missionaries have come into the country because it is an English-speaking country, even though there's a lot of Spanish-speaking people there. And a lot of them end up at our house. And we are able to minister to them. We are able to encourage them. When they get discouraged, they come to us. When they get burdened, they come to us. And we are able to minister to their needs and to really help them. We have helped many, many missionaries in Belize and also in Guatemala. And many people have helped us. Their presence in our homes have ministered to us in a different way than we ministered to them. I remember one time we were in Mexico when our son was just a baby. And at that time of the year, there was this deadly disease going around, something like a real bad flu. And we went to the cemetery one time. We was at a funeral of a baby. And I walked up and down the row, and I counted about 80 new graves of babies that had died from this disease. And it hit our son. He was very, very, very ill. His fever would go real high. And being there without knowing a doctor or anything, all we could do was to keep cloth in the refrigerator to cool his little body down when his temperature would go so high. And the same time, Brother Golden took the same thing. And he was very sick. And there I was, burdened between Brother Golden being sick and our son being sick and trying to take care of our daughter at the same time. And the Lord knew that we needed some help. And we didn't know where that help was going to come from. But there was a brother who was in Arizona, I think, at the time, or Texas. He was a pilot of a plane. And he said the Lord spoke to him that morning and said, get in your plane and fly to this place in Mexico. The Goldens need you. That brother got in his plane, and he flew down. And Brother Golden had got up and went out, and he stretched a little cot outside and laid down. And he said while he was there, said he could hear something humming over him. And so he thought, well, that pilot, he must be kind of crazy going around over this city so much like this. And about three or four times, this pilot flew right over our little camping trailer. And in a few minutes, Brother Golden got up and come back into the trailer and lay down. And it wasn't very long, probably about 10 or 15 minutes, we heard a knock at the door. And I walked to the door, and he says, Sister Marlene says, what's wrong? I said, Brother Charles, Brother Golden is very, very sick. Our son is very, very sick. He said, the Lord spoke to me this morning to fly down here. And he walked into the house and went over to Brother Golden, and he said, Brother Golden, I have something for you. That in the name of Jesus, be healed. And immediately, all of that fever left, and he began to cough up all that stuff that was in his lungs. And Brother Charles walked over to little Sam, and he laid his hand on the baby, and he said, Samuel, be healed in the name of Jesus. All of that fever left, all of that congestion in his little lungs left. I'm so thankful that God has somebody that will obey whatever we have need of. There's someone somewhere that will obey and will do what God has called them to do. I remember another time we were in California, and we had a four-door pickup with a little camper at the back, and we had drove into a service station. The Lord has tried to kill our children many times. Many times. But God has always, I mean, not the Lord, the devil, I'm sorry. And God has always raised them up. Well, we drove into the service station, and Sam got out on one side, and Duana got out on the other side of the vehicle. Well, when they got back in, they got in on the same side. And Samuel went back and sat down by the door. And we filled up, paid for everything, and started to drive off. And as Brother Golden was getting the speed up on the highway, the Lord impressed me to look back. And when I looked back, I saw the door fly open. And our son flew out of that car. And he was rolling head over heels down the middle of the highway. And at that same time, Brother Golden had looked through the mirror and saw it. And he was applying his brakes to stop. Well, I jumped out of the truck before it completely stopped. And I was running down that highway. And when I got part of the way down, here comes Sam running to me. That child didn't have one scratch on him. God kept him. And it's just a miracle what God can do. And we're so thankful that Jesus does answer prayer. The Lord bless you this morning.
He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Praise God for the precious sheaves that are being gathered in, that shall eternally be in the garner of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I praise God for what he is doing in Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Paul declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles. We usually think of that as other nations besides the United States. I have heard a missionary describe, somebody describe a missionary as anybody that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, and a mission field is anybody that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then whenever you start talking about the field, we talk about the mission field, we usually mean over yonder, you know, yonder. Jesus said, the field is the world. And I praise God for the vision that he gave here. Praise God for the missionary work that is going on right here. Right here in this little corner of Arkansas. We think of it missionary work. Way over yonder, Japan, Belize, South America. But all God's doing such a wonderful work here. And I just praise God for the blessing that we have received at being a part of this Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And I remember back when we first met the Millers. And I remember God gave me some prophecy to a congregation of people. And you could tell by their response after that, some of the prophecies was reproof. And they didn't receive it quite so well. But I remember after the meeting, here come Brother and Sister Miller hunting us up. And I remember Sister Miller saying, I see more of God in you than I do all of those other preachers. You know, and different other things like that she said. I kind of felt like we were, you know, off in a corner. But praise God, you're not off in a corner. You're not sealed off. You're not shut off. God knows how to join you together. I didn't know they were had come back to Arkansas. We had left that meeting in California not knowing if we'd ever see them again. That was California, way off over on the western part of the United States. And we went back into Mexico, and we're going down into Belize. And so we came back to Hot Springs to visit. And we were in a Bible bookstore. And so I didn't have any idea that Glenn and Irma was, operating any Bible bookstore. So I was, you know, looking around, and somebody said, aren't you Brother Golden? Yeah, yeah. And I looked, there was Irma Miller. And so they were just in the process of getting started out here. They had a little building, white building. They called it the White House. And I remember some of the services that we had in the White House. And although it was just a very humble beginning there in the White House, I felt a witness of God, that God was going to do great things here in this place. You know, whenever I was a small boy on a farm and then later grew up, walked many miles barefooted behind the plow, I was sharing with Dr. Null. He had some similar experience. You know, he's told about how he's inhaled a lot of the vapor from the mule. And If someone would have come out in the field where I was working and told me that God was going to do great things for me, that I would go into foreign countries, that I would speak different foreign languages, well, you know, I sure wouldn't have bought that. I sure wouldn't have, I wouldn't have believed it. But, you know, God knew what he was going to do to this place. And I thank God for the missionary work that is being done right here. Amen. For the thousands of people that have come through these doors right here. Yeah. And the ones that have read the magazine that go forth from this place. And the ones that read the literature that goes forth from this place. You know, we're so busy on when we come to the States, coming to and fro, and we're just a short while usually with people. And I say it down here in Arkansas, we only have time, hardly have time to say hi, y'all, and bye, y'all. And out in California, I tell them, you know, we hardly have time to say hi, you guys, and bye, you guys. But we haven't had much time to really fellowship and be with Brother Glenn, Sister Miller, at times other than camp meeting time. And so, you know, at camp meeting time, revival time, I'm invited to come and preach a revival, or I announce all over villages, different areas, send out handbills that we're going to be preaching in a certain area. Well, you know, I like to get out my very best I got, you know, and just really get with it, just put out my very best. But then when people come to my house after the meeting is over, well, then, you know, they might not find me really just trying to dish out my very best. I praise God for people like Glenn and Irma Miller that are a man and a woman of God. During camp meeting time, it's not just putting on a front of something that they're not, real servants of God that are dedicated to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I've got an article I just wrote. I think I've got about two or three copies of it. I haven't made several copies, and the title of that of the article is "Who Are the Real Missionaries?" And it goes on to say, that is a big question, and it is good for people to really find out, ask that question, and make it a point to find out. But I went on in the article to mention different ones that don't go on the mission field, like one sister we just visited in Tampa, Florida, a few days ago, that she works on a regular job. She's 73 years old. She's very faithful to send gospel tracts down to us and to send to different other places in the world. And some people that go, and that's their main ministry, giving out tracts. She told me how many pairs of shoes she bought for the ones that just go and give out tracts and have worn out shoes, and they've come to her with worn out shoes, and she's bought other shoes for them to go out and give out tracts while she works on her job. And serves God in her church, a very faithful member of her church, and does what she can to pay her tithe to her church. And then, so, you know, the article went on to say, if there's anybody that are real missionaries, it's people like this. Without dedicated people like Glenn and Irma and you, churches couldn't be built, preachers couldn't preach, evangelists couldn't go forward and evangelize, missionaries couldn't go on the mission field. If it wasn't for faithful, working, laboring businessmen and women, wage-earning men and women that work so faithfully there on your job, and then you give that the work of the gospel might go forward. This campground exists because of people like you that are sitting right now in your seats, people that are faithful to go to the house of God and assemble yourselves together and to give of your tithe and offering. It wasn't some rich man that left a great big rich inheritance that caused this to be built. It's not because we have rich ancestors and we've inherited a lot of money that we're able to pay the big expenses that are to be paid on the mission field. The large amount of gasoline that we burn up, traveling continually from place to place, preaching over in foreign countries and riding jet planes. It's not because of that. It's because of the faithfulness of the body of Christ. And I love you. I appreciate you for being the missionary that God would have you to be. And if it wasn't for like offerings that we get here, very regular. Not only that, we get letters. Very encouraging letters. I know Sister Irma has lots of things that she had rather do than to sit and handwrite a letter, and sometimes it's typewritten, sometimes it's handwritten, and seek God for words of encouragement to encourage us. But I take those letters, and Merlene takes those letters, and sometimes we're there in the heat of the battle and the hardships that there is, battling the principalities and the powers of witchcraft and the powers of darkness that rules in those countries. And we get those letters and we read the words of encouragement that the Lord gives somebody. There's a few other people that are present here in the campground that write to us. And sometimes people look on missionaries as, you know, I need the missionary. I need him to preach to me. I need him to help me out. And he's supposed to be a strong guy, never supposed to get weak, never supposed to boo, never be down in the mully grub. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, he says, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, he said. Now you hear an apostle talk like that, you know, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. Who? Apostle not supposed to talk like that. He's supposed to say, I'm on the mountaintop all the time and I never get have trials and tribulations and I never do get discouraged. Ain't supposed to lie. So I couldn't do it. I couldn't, looking back over 32 years that the Lord's had Merlene and me together in missionary work, we couldn't have done it if it wasn't for courage that we receive and help that we receive from the ones that God lays it on their heart to help. In other words, the real missionaries that back us up. Praise God for real missionaries like you. Glory to God. You know, there was one time, I'd like to tell about this, one way when the Lord come along and got me up out of the deep mully grub. I like to talk about when I'm shouting on the mountaintop. Can I tell you a little bit about being in the mully grubs for a while? My father-in-law passed away here in Hot Springs. He couldn't write his name, wasn't educated, but he was a very intelligent guy. Just never had the opportunity to go to school. He's a very faithful Christian man. I really love my father-in-law and also my mother-in-law. I've heard one guy describe mixed emotions as watching your mother-in-law drive off of a cliff in your brand new Cadillac. You ever hear it stated that way? That could be pretty mixed emotion, watching your mother-in-law drive off of a cliff in your Cadillac. I remember I was one time I was trying to drive a stake in the ground. Somebody hit it like you'd like to hit your mother-in-law. And so I quit. I said, well, I got to quit then. I don't want to hit it at all. I said, my mother-in-law is a very sweet, precious woman of God. And I love her and she loves me. And in spite of her being really protective and partial to her daughter, I accept that. I don't resent her for that. I love her for it. That's what she's supposed to be. My father-in-law had passed away. I had enough money to put my wife and two small children on a plane and send them away back up here to the States. And I was kindly asking the Lord, Lord, if somehow you'll intervene that I don't have to borrow any money, I'll go too. But I just didn't feel free to do it that way. So I took her to Belize City over the many miles of rough roads. Had to get up before daylight to get there, to get on the plane. And so I put her on the plane. There at the airport building, they allowed people to get up on top of the flat top building to watch what was going on. For security reasons, they don't do that anymore. But I was the only one. I say I was the only one, me and Jesus. Was up there. And I watched them get on the plane. And I sat. And I watched that plane fly out of sight. I tried to be big. And bold. And brave. And be a man. And not be frail. And not be flimsy. But then my frailness and my flimsiness got the best of me. And I sat there for a long time. Since there was nobody there to call me a crybaby. And our elder brother was there to pat me on the shoulder and tell me to go on and just express it all before him. Well, I did. I wept for a long time. I drove back home. I was in the mully grubs. for the several days my wife was here, well, you know, I managed going through each day. I felt very discouraged and very disappointed that I couldn't be with her during the time of her sorrow, that I couldn't see my father-in-law there in the casket and be at his funeral and comfort my mother-in-law. The day came when my wife, she announced her flight. We arranged for a flight for her to come back. When we were first sent her, didn't have the money for her to get back, but then the Lord worked it out so she was able to get a ticket to get back. Well, I went to the airport, and of course I was very glad to see her, but very disappointed that I wasn't able to go, wasn't able to be with her. I felt like that I was, you know, some sort of a failure, not really the husband that I ought to be. I had lost out on something at a very time of closeness that I should have been able to be with her, that I should have been there. And when my mother-in-law, at my father-in-law's funeral, we got home, she began pulling out pictures. She thought since I wasn't there, I would like to see pictures of the funeral. And of course, she's able to understand me how that I was, for being a hypocrite during that time. I made out like that I appreciated seeing those pictures, you know. But just seeing the pictures even grieved me that much more. I hadn't made much effort to go out into the villages while she's gone. I stayed mostly close around home after she got back with the children. Well, then we began to go out into the villages. And I, you know, tried to be good. I tried to act courageous. And it was an act. Because I for many days, I felt hurt and disappointed. We went to the village, drove across into the Guatemala border, many miles over through the jungles, to a little settlement they call La Puente. And so, you know, I ministered the best that I could. Went to bed with all of the, still feeling the hurt. And it seemed like, after we got in the village, I felt it worse than I did even while she was away. The hurt and the disappointments. My wife and our children, we sleeping in the camper, my wife and I on the upper part, and we had the little lower part. Our children were small at that time. I guess it was long about 5 o'clock in the morning. The Apostle Paul, he related something. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knoweth. To me, it was out of the body. And I felt myself being carried upward. Whenever I was being carried upward, I was carried into a room. And whenever I was carried into the room, well, you know, I looked all around. There was flowers. There was interior decoration. The Apostle Paul spoke about things that are unlawful for a man to utter. And there's things that you can't describe, beauty that you can see, heavenly beauty that you can see that can be showed to you that cannot be described in earthly vocabulary. Well, there I was in that place, and there stood my mother-in-law. But she wasn't the little frail woman that I had known her to be, the little sickly-looking woman. She was dressed in white. She had eyes that were more beautiful than any eyes that I have ever seen on earth. Light radiated out from her. She says, my mother-in-law says, I have something I want to show you, something to show you. So we entered into another room, even more beautiful yet. And when we entered in, there was my father-in-law, Mr. C.W. Skates. I didn't see him in that casket. I had grieved because I wasn't there for his funeral and his death. But I saw him like Jesus sees him. He wasn't the sick man. I saw a glorified man. I saw him the way Jesus sees him eternally. The room had mirrors. What you could see over here, you could see it in a mirror over here and look over here in the mirror, and any way you can see the beauty. I was made aware that there was a mirror behind me also. And I turned. I was prompted to turn. And I looked into the mirror. I didn't see a discouraged guy that was down in the mully grubs. I saw James Golden the way Jesus sees it. James Golden is going to be. I saw the glorified James Golden. Brothers and sisters, there is glory waiting for us. There is an eternity. We're on the brink of a glorious eternity. Living forever, glorified with Jesus. I opened my eyes. It was about daylight. And I was back in the camper. But I tell you, I had a different attitude. So I began telling my wife all about what the Lord had done. We wept and rejoiced in the Lord. When God gives you a glimpse of the sweet by and by, He gives you strength to endure the bitter here and now. When God sees, lets us know, we don't just entertain it as a great fantastic fairy tale, but the realities of ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ here on the earth, but not as a frail human being, but ruling and reigning with Him in His likeness and in His image. It's something fantastic. It sounds fantastic. It blows the mind of the average person that hears that. They don't want to believe that. I remember I was asked to preach a funeral. There was a soldier in the Belize Defense Force had died. And the area where the funeral was to be conducted was... There were English-speaking people and Spanish-speaking people. When we have church service there, we have to have church bilingually. And a lot of times, whenever I'm preaching, I have to say a little while in English and then stop and say it a little while in Spanish. And so I've done that all over the country, and I've interpreted for good men and women of God that God would send down our way, and we'd go out into the villages, they would preach, and I would interpret. So that being the case, they knew me as the interpreter. I got drafted into preaching the funeral. They came to me and said, "Brother Golden, you're the only one I know. It has to be both in Spanish and in English. And would you please preach the funeral?" I said, "Yes, yeah, I'll sure will." So, you know, I began to get ready that evening. That morning they came to me and they told me, I said, "Now, Brother Golden, there's been a few changes in plans. The guy was a soldier, the guy that died, and he's kind of a prominent soldier. And down there, they call the, like up in Canada, they don't call their chief official the president. They call him the prime minister. Here, they call him the president. Other countries, they call him the king. And down there, they call him the prime minister. They told me, said, "Brother Golden, the prime minister is going to be in the service. And they said the chief men in the military are also going to be there because it's the military general. They said the governor general, that's the very top officials in the government of Belize." I tell you what, whenever I heard that, you know, it's a little different from preaching to people that you're used to preaching to out in the villages. They're poor, humble people. I got to preach to the cream of the crop. Well, you know, while I was shivering and shaking and wondering what to do and how to do it and what to say, well, you know, the scripture come to me, "You'll be brought before rulers and before kings, and don't premeditate before what you shall say, because it shall be given to you in the same hour what to say for a witness to them." Well, it's appropriate to get a few scriptures together, the appropriate scriptures, "About the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, etc., to comfort all that mourn in Zion." And I had those scriptures down both in Spanish and in English. Typed them off on my computer and run them off on the printer and had them, you know, they're ready to read those scriptures. We were told the order, since it was a state funeral, you know, they have certain procedures. The prime minister was to, you know, walk into Seth with his bodyguards, but there were two
main preachers. One guy didn't speak any, a brother of the soldier that died. He couldn't speak but very little English. And the governor general was a woman. And so we were, she was supposed to have her limit. We were given a brief rundown right quickly of what we were supposed to do. And there I was in a pickle. We were supposed to, the two preachers were supposed to, when she, the limousine came out in front, we were supposed to walk gingerly down the aisle and get side by side with her and accompany her to her seat and then have her seated. And we go back on the platform. Then when the funeral was over, we were to walk back to her and walk back to her limousine and escort her back to her limousine, and then we were to fall in the march for the military march that they were having. Church was about way over a quarter of a mile from the place where they're going to have the funeral. Well, there I was. The president himself was there, and those military men. I want to tell you something. This bashful, backward country boy walked many miles along behind the plow, that during his teenage years was one of the most backward and bashful boys that ever was. Only by the grace and the help of the Lord was able to stand and to declare the counsel of God there in the presence of the president of the country and the chief men in the government of the country. Now, if somebody would have told me whenever I was that boy back there plowing cotton out in the cotton field, someday something like that will happen. Well, you know, I would have said that's really far-fetched. That's something that's really far-fetched. You know, God keeps speaking to me. Let me go back a little bit. When the, of course, I was dressed in the best suit I had, and after the funeral was over, they had a big army tank. And the prime minister and his bodyguard were to walk behind the army tank. Us two preachers were to march in front of the I can't march. And there wasn't a service. But we were to walk in front of the army tank, and the band and the soldiers, the marching soldiers, they were to go to the very front. And then the people that were in the funeral were to follow in the procession. Well, everybody in that whole area, they knew about the funeral. They knew the prime minister was there. And so the streets were lined with people, big crowds of people all up and down the street. Well, you know, something that I didn't bargain for. And whenever I walked along, kept watching to see if I was getting too far ahead or too far behind, seeing if I was doing it right and everything. You know, there's a lot of things that can go on in the machinery of your mind. There's lots of things the devil could say, look here, now you're a big shot. Now everybody's got to look up to you. You know, just before the funeral procession was to begin, when people were coming out of the church getting ready, well, the prime minister himself came to greet us personally and express his words of appreciation and to give us his best wishes. So, anyhow, we fell in line. There I was marching. Devil saying, you're a big shot. And of course, I knew that wasn't the case. I knew it's only because God has determined that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, in every nation, from the king's palace on down to the beggar that is out there in the streets of Skid Row. Praise God. Well, you know, God keeps speaking. You know, whenever I was a young guy and God was calling me to the mission field, God spoke great things like, God began telling me that I would speak foreign languages and be in foreign countries and go to several countries to declare his counsel. And me and the Lord had several arguments, and the Lord won every one of them. I told the Lord, look here, Lord. Now, look, I come from the poorest family in this part of the country, Lord. I've gone to school many days with you know, with the most humble clothes, the most humble clothes of anybody. Lord, we've had to carry a school lunch and watch people get that fancy stuff like bologna between two pieces of things they call light bread and eat it. And Lord, I've had to put up with that, and I've had to just, I was lucky if I had a piece of cornbread and a possum leg to eat. And Lord, I'm backward, I'm bashful, I can't do anything like that. But, you know, the Lord told Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And because of the counsel of God, because of God's will for the gospel to go forward, because of God's will to use each and every one of you in His own way, God wants to do great things for you. Somebody says, oh my, we're living in the last days. I used to quote that scripture whenever I used to try to, you know, sway people's minds and with calamity howling. I'd quote the scripture that this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, coveters, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo, ain't it awful? Now to get on that scripture that the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Oh, I was expert at quoting those scriptures, but only one-sided. But I got to reading a little bit more and reading in the book of Joel and in the book of Acts. It says, in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out. In the last days, he said! 1993 at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Oh, hallelujah. On Sunday, November the 5th, 1993, I will pour out of my spirit. I believe God's going to give us a great service tonight. Praise God. Aren't you thankful for the way God has given us such wonderful services? I believe I've been to different camp meetings here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. These are the greatest that I've been in. God is getting ready to do something. Praise God. I remember after we had a wreck, we were in Mexico, going to Belize. We were on our last leg. If we wouldn't have had a wreck, we would have got there the same day. We went around, it had been raining, went around some slick asphalt curves, and our automobile had a flat on the left front tire, and it went down about 10 feet. In the dumps, and I landed on my left side. It crushed ribs. Merlene was stowed back in the back and knocked unconscious while the automobile was laying there on its side. Well, the engine was still running. I had enough strength to reach up and turn the engine off. So I was concerned about Merlene, and I said, Merlene, where are you? And she didn't say a word. And I tell you, a little while you can get discouraged. I could picture her just crushed and just dead. So then I screamed out again, Merlene, where are you? And I kept saying that. I just kept saying it just like as if I knew she's got to answer me. So then after a while I heard her answer, I'm back here. I think I'm all right. She regained consciousness. And even with broke ribs, I was able to pull myself up and get out of that what's the door that's supposed to be over here is up there now, and you have to really push it up. And so we got out of there. I laid on the side of the road. They took us to a soldier camp. It was close to Christmas holidays. There was lots of traffic on the road. Ambulance were kept busy all the time up and down the road. They didn't have hardly enough personnel to take care of the sick. They had to take care of the sure enough, bad with just cracked ribs. That's bleeding on the inside there. That's nothing, minor problem. I laid there for about 11 hours till we could get some help and be taken to a hospital, and I got taken to a little hospital and got some treatment. I tell you, after we had the wreck, place where the wreck was, there was no telephone services. We had a few traveler's checks. They wouldn't accept our traveler's checks, and so we just had to get by the best we could, who we could get to haul us somewhere. My wife rode in a wrecker, one of the roughest automobiles she'd ever ridden in. She had gone through that wreck while I was hauled to the hospital. About 11 hours after the wreck, I was hauled in a small police patrol car. And I was laying there in the hospital whenever she arrived, and I looked, she had some scratches and scars on her face. And, I felt like everything was going to be all right, and still felt like I was bleeding, and I was wondering if I was going to live through that. But then, I still felt like everything was going to be all right if I lived through it or if I didn't live through it. But I was
I was concerned, you know, about the people that you want to minister to. People you learn to love. People that you've led to the Lord. God's sheep in those villages all throughout the jungles in eastern Guatemala and in Belize. And I was there, Lord, is this the time for me to go home to be with you or not? I was, you know, asking the Lord. God has his own way of answering us, whether it's showing us in a mirror what we're going to look like a million years from now. And soon and very soon, no matter if it's 7, 8, 10 years or 40 years from now, soon and very soon, our eyes shall behold the King and we shall be in his likeness. Don't let it be as a fairy tale to you. He that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. In Hebrews 6 chapter, it says, we have laid refuge to lay hold of the hope that we have as an anchor of the soul that entereth that within the veil. Well, there I was wondering if I would live or die. Big question. Wondering how long it was going to take for me to get well. If I got well, wondering how long I was going to have to lay and endure all that pain that I was enduring. We got to this town where there was phones. So I was confined to the hospital. I couldn't get up and get about. Merlin still could, although she was bruised and battered and gone through the turmoil of having a wreck. But still, she went able to get some traveler's checks cashed and go and make the different phone calls. You know who she called first? She called Glenn and Arnold Miller, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. I don't remember the exact words that Brother Glenn was on the phone. And then, of course, it was Merlin telling me later about how the phone call, the anointing of the Lord come on him. I think he said, he's going to be out of there in 3 days, I think he said. Well, tomorrow, okay. Well, I see there, praise God for a wife that could straighten me out. I wonder how crooked I'd be. Well, it so happened that she called people in Belize and told them that I was up there in the town of Escatosiga, Mexico. And we'd had a wreck and wanted somebody could come. We had things in our automobile. It had to be confiscated, long story. But the things that were in the automobile, our goods that we had, if we were able to round them up. And, the ones in Belize, there I was, really had those ribs crushed, but we found out that it was getting close to the Christmas holidays, and they intended to take a vacation and close down the little clinic that I was in. So now what am I going to do? Going to go rent a hotel room, stay in a hotel room till I can get able to get up and get on the road. Well, there was a Christian brother, young missionary brother, and a native that had driven from Belize and come to where I was there in the clinic while I was wondering all about, you know, how it's going to be and how many days I'm going to have to stay in this city till I'm able to travel. They came walking in, and I looked, and there they was. They announced that this hospital is going to be closed. You're going to have to get out of the hospital. I didn't get completely healed right then. But let me tell you, I got some strength and I got some courage. And although I had to sit, I couldn't lie down. I couldn't even lean my back against the seat while we were going. It was 11 hours. We went from the little clinic back to our place in Belize. It took us 11 hours to get there. And I sat holding up to the dash like that and holding on. And I don't say I didn't have any pain. I don't say it didn't hurt pretty bad whenever we went over the bumps. I don't say I didn't scream and I didn't cry. And that my body wasn't suffering. But what I want to say is my discouragement. Somebody here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp had touched the throne of grace for us and had got the word of God. He'll be out of there tomorrow. You thought, what does Glenn Miller think he's talking about? Does he know that I've got crushed ribs and I'm bleeding on the inside? Well, you know, I mean, that's thoughts that'll come to you. But God knows what he's talking about. When I was lying there wondering whether I'd live or die, and I was asking the Lord questions. Lord, is this punishment on me for not behaving myself as good as I should, Lord? All of my old horrible faults and failures and weaknesses and times that I've got angry and said things that I shouldn't say, they became
For a while it became like the devil throwing it at me at condemnation. And then after I'd rebuked the devil, it was as the Lord coming with healing anointment, showing me that he was healing me and using all of that to give me victory over some of those things. Some of my reluctance to go into some of the hard places to preach the gospel, you know, the holding back because a lot of the government red tape you have to go into different countries to preach the gospel, you know, you just kind of back up at that. And I felt the Lord giving me victory over that. While I was lying there, you know, in that wrecked automobile, it was crushed away in here. And the only place my wife and I could sleep or get to lie down was a little platform, and we could barely squeeze together here. It was squeezed together so much. And the roof was completely knocked in. It had a fiberglass roof on it. And so it didn't rain that night, but while we were laying there, we were looking up at the stars, and that's the only place we had. And so, you know, you get put down in the dumps, and you have to, you know, you don't want to be. You want to be a victorious Christian. So in that condition, I was asking the Lord, you know, about it all. And it didn't take the Lord an hour or 10 minutes, or it wasn't hardly 10 seconds. It was just like the heaven in the Lord. I didn't hear a word. I didn't hear the Lord say a word. While I was laying there with all that in my heart, like the heavens opened, I saw a palace. You've seen pictures of kings' palaces in ancient Europe have stairways going up those palaces. And most of them you see in pictures is an old, dull-looking thing making out of an old, dull. So let me tell you, this was the most beautiful building I ever saw in all of my life. No king or no president or no prime minister ever lived in a building like that. But it just zip. Hear what? Zip. That's it. I said, God, although I'm suffering, Lord, although I don't see myself as a king and a priest, I see myself as a defeated, somebody doomed to suffer defeat and horrible discouragement. But God, by your grace, I am a king and a priest, and I shall rise above all of this. And I'll stand in your glory and your anointing and your power, and I will declare your counsel wherever you send me. He didn't have to say a lot of words. All he had to do was just show a toot and then boop, boom, the message got to hallelujah, praise God. Well, I got well. During the process of battling all that discouragement, there's a medical doctor that we know named John Muller. He's been to Belize. We met him in Belize. And he you know, knew about heart wreck. And I tell you what, to, you know, get words of courage. Usually it's somebody that's talking to you personally that you can encourage you the most. But just to get it in a letter, I never got a more encouraging letter. He says, "Dear Brother Golden, you have really been on my heart. God showed me that you have really been facing a lot of discouragement." And he gave me the word of the Lord and the counsel of the Lord in that letter. Just here yesterday, I was standing right here, and God used another medical doctor, Dr. William Null, and he come and rebuked the spirit of discouragement. I didn't tell anybody that we battle discouragement and, you know, all that it is involved in going through a lot of red tape and some of the very things that have been on my heart. Countries that have been on my heart where I know God will send us to preach. Some of the islands out in the Caribbean out there where it is really hard and you have to go through a lot to get there. Let me tell you, I'm not afraid. I'm going from this camp meeting unafraid. I don't think I'd be afraid if it come down to it to talking to Fidel Castro himself and to all of the men that are around about him. 10 years ago, if you'd have said I would have preached in a congregation where the chief government officials of the country of Belize is, I would have said, "Oh, that's wishful thinking." But I tell you what, God used Dr. Null. He didn't ask me to tell this. I'm sure it's all right with him. But God used him to tell me that he is going to do great and mighty things. Sometimes, you know, that blows our mind.
The reason it blows our mind is because we're not expecting it. We look at it as something, you know, far out beyond our reach. Let me tell you, God is a great and mighty God, and the things of the Spirit of God are in our reach right here now. In 1993, now He is a now God. He wants to use you now. He wants to set you on fire in these camp meetings. He wants you to keep on coming back to these camp meetings. Praise God. Isn't God wonderful? Well, I see it's getting late. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't God good? I sure appreciate every one of you. Appreciate your kind attention. You have been a very lovely congregation to preach to. And having thus said, I will turn the service back over to him who is in charge.
Praise the Lord. Can I ask the other fellow brethren to come? Let's pray for the Goldens. Hallelujah. Brother Tommy, where the Canada's at? Glory to God. Where's my wife at? Come, let's pray for these dear folks. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Come on, Brother Speed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Let's just join and pray for these folks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on in, folks. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise. Sister Golden, God just really wants to lift just the weariness. I just sense just such a weariness that's been upon you. It's not just been physical weariness. It's even been a weariness that's even been upon your very emotional being. But the Lord told me to pray for you, to pour strength into you. And just in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to Him. Ah, Lord God, I thank you right now. Thy God have commanded thy strength in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the spirit of weariness off of you. I rebuke the spirit of weariness and heaviness off of you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I break the back of the enemy and the powers of death and destruction that the enemy has tried to put upon you. We just break it right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we speak strength to you. Strength, strength from the Almighty in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I just thank you, Lord. You're pouring to her right now, Lord. All the way down, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We break the yoke of the oppressor now in the name of Jesus. And the powers of darkness and in Jesus' name, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you right now, Lord God. We thank you right now, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put your hand on her stomach there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I just command this sickness, Lord God. I command this sickness in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord in Jesus' name. Rebuke that sickness right now. Come off of her right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Command life to come forth in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Even that infection you've been battling. Even that infection you've been battling. Lord's cleansing and healing right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for our brother. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that he didn't come, Lord God, to give us just another missionary story, Lord God. Father, you shared the heart of God with us, Lord God. How we've drawn, Lord, and been encouraged, Lord, through the many things that have come to bring him low, Lord God. You've lifted us up by the very stories, Lord, of your grace and your mercy, Father God. Now, Father God, you didn't send them, Lord, not just to the camp or even back to the States, Father God, without purpose. And Father, I ask that your divine ordering, Father God, will be upon them, Lord. And Lord, your divine provision, Father, for them, Lord God. And Lord God, that you'll have those divine connections, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege of sharing in, Lord God, in the fellowshipping in the thing that you're doing in their life, even at this very hour, Father. And Father, I pray, Lord God, even as you send them, Lord, back to the mission field, Father, that you will give them those that can be found faithful, Father God.
Oh, God, a faithful friend, who can find? But, Father, I'm asking you, Lord God, for those that can be found faithful, Lord God, in the work of the Lord, that, Father, that those that will be raised up, that will hold up and lift up and pray up and shout up and preach up, Father God, that, Father, that they will see, Lord God, Lord, that the ground, Father, that has been very hard, and I see like a ground that's been hard even to pierce, and even that which is sown that would seem to be even crushed even by the dryness of it, and no life, but I see God's even beginning to move even now to show you even that which you've sown has been good seed. And hallelujah, even though the ground has seemed hard, that the Lord even is sowing even that which you have even poured forth, even is going to bring forth a mighty harvest. And yea, even though weeping has endured, yea, for a season, thou shalt even, yea, find joy that does come in the morning. And yea, thou shalt find the stability that thou hast longed to find even in the people that thou hast poured into. And yea, thy God shall even raise up this one and that one, and there shall be real leadership and a real going forth, and even the burden shall be gotten upon their shoulders, and it shall even be carried across, even across the Jordan, saith the Lord, even across those swelling rivers, saith the Lord. Yea, I shall even cause it to go forth, for the burden shall even go upon their shoulders, yea, and yea, my leadership and my authority shall go forth, and yea, many shall even follow and find the way, saith the Lord, even because thou hast been faithful to sow among all kinds of waters. Hallelujah. Saith the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Glory to God.
Praise you, Jesus. Well, camp meeting is getting close to being over. This time tomorrow, it will be history. And we'll be looking forward to Thanksgiving camp meeting and return to the blessing of this camp meeting, but it'll flow over onto that one. Amen, amen. Well, we'll eat lunch and try and maybe by about 20 after 1, why we can get back or thereabouts to have a meeting with the ladies and a meeting with the men for the last time this camp meeting. And then we'll come back for the afternoon service and tonight and tomorrow morning, and it'll be history. But it'll be glory. Amen. Father, thank you for the food. Bless it to our bodies. Strengthen us with it. Amen.
I'm praising the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord.
In everything that I'm I'm praising the Lord. I'm praising the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord.
In everything that happens, I'm praising the Lord. I'm praising the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord.
In everything that happens, I'm praising the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.